Okay, well, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read this passage this time in the beginning using the New Living Translation, and then we will finish up reading this same passage again from the King James Version at the very end. I want to start off by saying that, and I'm going to lay a foundation for all this as we go, and so if anybody struggles with anything I'm saying, I hope you'll hear not only the words that I'm bringing, but hear the Lord in the midst of it. But I just want to start off by saying that you are better when you try. You are better when you try. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you are better when you try. Jason, you're better when you try. Susan, you're better when you try. Have you ever heard that before? This is such a true statement. You are better when you try. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 1. From the New Living Translation. Now, Daniel, I didn't tell you the wrong title to this message. We'll get to that a little bit later on. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share this same precious faith that we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the One who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. And all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Are we okay? Okay. Sorry, a little bit nervous with the new equipment that we're using. Make sure we're going out good on Facebook. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Make every effort, he tells us. And if we make every effort, if we try, then we'll be better for it. But those who fail to develop, those who fail to try in this way are short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sadly, today many get their doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is just what is taught to us, what we receive as teaching from the Lord. Many get their doctrine from the modern worship songs that are poorly constructed. Songs which draw upon and emphasize human feelings and emotions. Now, please let me back up and say that I do not believe every modern worship song is inaccurate or incorrect. And I'm by no means saying that every old worship song or hymn was correct in its doctrine either. There has been poor doctrine, poor understanding of the Word of God sung forth as praises to the Lord and encouragement to one another throughout the ages, and it is still happening today. I think what's happening today is not so much of bad doctrine, just lack of doctrine, which becomes bad doctrine in itself. But many people are getting their doctrine from these poorly constructed worship songs and from the multitude of sources sharing sound bites that sound so enticing, but not from sound teaching that considers the whole counsel of God. It is amazing how shallow this understanding is in many people, and therefore their faith is shallow in so many churches today. One such strongly held inaccurate and incorrect belief is a notion that God does not expect us to, nor even want us to try. Many who hold this error in their minds and hearts are, as a result, living below their potential in Christ. Remember, you are better when you try, not worse. Many people would tell you that you're worse off trying. Just let go and let God. That's one of those sound bites. Let go and let God. Well, it depends on what you're letting go of and what you believe God is going to do all on His own. If you're letting go of your fear, amen, let go of it. If you're letting go of your own human efforts without God's help, amen, let go of it and let God help. But it's not let go of everything, don't do anything, and let God do it all. That is not Scripture. And yet so many people live according to that soundbite which speaks to them that they need to stop trying. You may be thinking to yourself that you don't remember coming across the word try in your reading of God's Word. Let me assure you, it's there, and it's really not that hard to see. You just got to be aware of some things. First of all, there's an older meaning of the word try, and that is what the King James uses, and many of the other modern translations translate an idea and a thought using the English word try, which means to test or to prove or to judge. This word you will find in Scripture. God does talk about trying us and people being tried, but not people trying in an attempt. It's people being tested, people being proved to see what they're made of. This is how the Word of God translates the word try, or the Hebrew and the Greek word into the English word try in the Bible. To denote something or someone being tested to see what is within them and what they are made of. Thomas Paine, the American patriot who wrote in 1776 the pamphlet, The Crisis, wrote this: "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot, the fair weather friend, the guy who's all in until it gets difficult, the summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now, now that we're in the thick of it, now that it's going difficult, now that people are actually losing their lives, now that it's not just a matter of speaking words, but actually putting your life on the line." And I hope you can tell the difference between his words and my additions. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Once again, the older meaning of the word is used here, of someone or something being tested or tried to see if it fits or what it's made of. Today, there is the most common meaning that we come across, and when we say try, is used to mean to make an attempt, to put energy or effort towards, to endeavor to do something. So this morning, I'm using this for the most part, and what I'm saying, you're better when you try, not you're better when you're being tested, although that can really show some things, but you're better when you put effort towards the things that God has for you to do. That word try that we use in the modern sense the most means to try hard, to attempt, to work at. As the English would say, to have a go, or to give it some willy. You know, when I was over there, I learned a lot of things by their context. I didn't grow up learning these phrases, so I would often ask, what does that mean? Or I would just sit back and listen. I'd hear it often enough, I knew what it meant. And I knew when they said over, give it some willy, that means put your back into it. Give it some, you know, try hard. But I found out later on that give it some willy comes from, they wear wellies over there, or Wellington boots, which are the rubberized boots that farmers will wear walking through the mucky fields to keep their feet dry and from getting dirty. And the Wellington boots came from the Duke of Wellington, who lived, from 1769 to 1852, he was actually the one who defeated Napoleon at Waterloo. And he was he wanted to have more comfortable boots and stylish boots. So he had some bootmakers to make some boots for him that were iconic at the time. And then over the years, these comfortable boots that protected the soldiers from the wet and everything became different over time, and they ended up being these ugly rubber boots that people use today, but they still serve a purpose. And those are Wellington boots, or wellies for short. And I found out later on that give it some welly means, like if you're driving a car and you put your foot down on the accelerator and you're wearing wellies, then you're giving it some welly. You're putting your foot down. You're really getting after it. So give it a go. Give it a try. Give it some welly. This is what we mean by trying today. Even though the translator of most versions of the Bible do not use the word try or similar words and phrases, but they use similar words and phrases that absolutely saturate His holy word, including the New Testament. Even though you won't find the word try in there, but we'll use it today because we say try a lot to mean attempt, you will find other words that mean the same thing. Just because you don't run across a word doesn't mean that concept is not in there. And brothers and sisters, it is in there. So what words or phrases are used in the Bible instead of try? Well, the phrases we've already read, make every effort. Make every effort. Be diligent. Do thy diligence. Do with all your might. Do heartily as unto the Lord. Do with everything you got. To strive. The word strive is used many, many times, which also is translated to struggle, to earnestly contend for, earnestly care for, to be diligent, to endeavor, to work hard, work together, labor abundantly. And look at this one. This is the word that is translated strive in some places. In this particular place in the King James Version in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, study to be quiet. That word study means to strive. Try to be quiet. Some of us need to learn that. Not so much me at home. I need to learn to talk more, my wife tells me. But some folks need to learn to be quiet at times. You need to study or strive or put effort towards being quiet. And that's one thing you need to teach your children. Children, now is quiet time. You need to put effort towards being quiet. And that's not just at church when Brother Steve is preaching. That's at home when mom needs a little bit of quiet time or dad needs a little bit of quiet time. It's okay to tell your children that they need to be quiet. Not all day, not every day, not 24 hours a day, but there are times when that is the right thing to do. And you must strive to be quiet. So even though the word try is in the Bible, but not meaning to attempt to, it means to be tested, we see all these other phrases in there, and they're in the Scriptures in abundance. And we'll mention just a few this morning as we go forward. I want you to understand that this concept is not a foreign concept to the Christian. God does want us to try. In fact, the first truth that we want to have as a takeaway, takeaway number one, our truth number one is our Lord expects us to try. It's not just a suggestion. It is a command. Luke chapter 13, verse 24, strive, this is Jesus speaking, strive. What does strive mean? To try hard, to put some effort in it, to give it some willy. Give it a real good go. Make every effort, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When we strive or we try and we give it the effort, there's good results. You're better when you try. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. We labor, we strive, we try. We put effort into, we make every effort to be accepted of Him. So number one, the Lord expects us to try. And there's many other scriptures. We're just hitting the high points. Number two, truth number two. Takeaway number two. Our best effort is always expected. Not just a half-hearted effort. Not half a job, Bob. But every effort. Make every effort. Do all you can. Do thy diligence to come to me shortly, Paul said. Do your diligence. Try hard at it. Don't go down to the bus station, find out that there's no buses running, and say, well, I can't go see Brother Paul today because the buses aren't running. Paul says, make every effort. What does that mean? Well, I need to go down to the train station, see if the trains are running. Well, the trains aren't running. Is that every effort? Is that doing your diligence? Maybe there's a plane flying there. Maybe there's a horse and buggy. Maybe there's a pogo stick in your garage you need to get on. Make every effort. Do your diligence. Try hard. Our best effort is always expected. Strong language is used throughout the Scriptures to convey that only our best effort will be worthy of our Lord. And making a difference in our God-appointed task and relationships. If we want to make a difference in this world, if we want to please our Lord, if we want to be everything that we should be, it's going to take us putting some effort towards it. It's not just going to somehow mystically happen. Truth number three, takeaway number three, others expect us to try. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul's saying, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Striving together, trying hard together, not just on your own, but together, because other people need you. You're better when you try, and I need you to be trying. We all need one another to be trying, not trying in the sense that you're trying our patience. I don't want to be that kind of trying. I don't want to test you and try your patience. But I want to try. I want to make an attempt. I want to endeavor to be all I can for you because you need it. How do I know you need it? Because I need it. We all need it. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. Paul speaking to the church at Philippi. "And I treat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel." There were women that labored with Paul in the gospel. You can't labor without trying, because trying is labor. "With Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." Paul saying, "I had laborers. I couldn't have done it without them." This church cannot be everything that God wants His church to be without a church full of people who are trying and putting effort towards what God has called us to do. This is from the New Living Translation in 2 Peter, begin in chapter 3, begin verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief, when the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day He will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and a new earth He has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort. Try real hard to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in His sight. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you." Remember, others are expecting you to try. We expect better things of you. The leadership expects better things of one another in leadership. The leadership expects better things of people in the congregation. And you, as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, a part of the congregation, should be expecting better things of one another, good things of one another, things which show that we're trying, that we're attempting. That doesn't mean getting it right all the time. We're not talking about perfection here. We're talking about a heart that says, "I really want to try. I want to do my best. I want to make every effort. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence," the same diligence, the same effort, the same trying, "to the full assurance of hope unto the end." You know, I can tell when Susan isn't really trying. And it's pretty obvious to her when I'm not really trying to be my best. There's something different that comes out of us than what comes out of a person who's putting effort towards doing the right thing. What shows, instead of trying and effort and you as the focus, my feelings, my frame of mind, my attitude, what's coming out of me and what's in me and what's irritating there, that comes out and that shows. And let me just say that even though because of my study of the Word of God and God speaking to me about this, I might have told Susan more often than she has told me that I don't think she's trying. I think she's probably had a lot more opportunities to tell me. Relationships work better when we swallow our pride, suck it up, and try a little harder. Can anybody say amen? Amen. We really need one another. We cannot live as though our efforts are luxurious extras. Nice when it's convenient for us, but really not needed. Our efforts matter day in and day out. Sometimes our efforts can make all the difference to someone else. And it's amazing how much a selfless act of giving can turn things around for someone in need. Just as it is true that many can be defiled by a root of bitterness springing up, many can be blessed beyond measure when we try to bless. When blessing is our emphasis, when blessing is our target, when blessing is our goal, by trying to do that rather than giving in to all this other stuff. Put your heart and soul into it. Give it some willy. Truth number four, and this is where we really needed to get down to, and this is the actual title of my message to you today. As much as we looked around the room and we told our neighbors, you're better when you try. And I told Jason, you're better when you try. And Susan, you're better when you try. And you told one another and you thought about so many other people who you needed to be telling right now, you're better when you try, but they weren't here to hear it. The bottom line is, what we really need to be thinking is, I am better when I try. That's what makes the difference. I'm better when I try. Not just that I feel better, but I actually am better. I'm a better version of me when I try. I'm more what I was created to be when I try. I'm a better husband when I try. I'm a better father when I try. I'm a better son when I try. I'm a better brother in Christ when I try. I'm a better man when I try. I'm a better preacher when I try. Whatever your gift is, you're better at it when you try. Whatever contribution you have to make to God's kingdom, to His work on this earth, and to this fellowship you're a part of, you're better when you try. Because when you don't try, nothing comes out. I'm a better servant of Christ and of His body when I try. You know, Jennifer and Eric are returning home, and family are returning home from a trip to Arkansas. Susan, can you get me a tissue? And I'm thankful to them. Here comes Biak. I apologize, I wasn't prepared. You know, a man who's brought to tears, I don't ever remember crying until I was well into my 40s. He said, yeah, that was the loss of testosterone did that to you. No. It was experience of life. And the things I took for granted as a young man, I probably still take for granted, but not near as much as I used to. Things are more precious. Relationships are more precious. I don't have 80 years in front of me. Much of that is behind me now. So what is left in front of me, and I hope there's a lot, but what's left in front of me is smaller than what came before. So truths are more important. Family is more important. You are more important. At one time, it was easy to say, oh, good riddance, be gone with you. Somebody else will take your spot. Somebody else will fill your seat. I don't feel like that in my heart anymore. Every relationship is precious. And every relationship is meaningful. And I want to be everything I can be. That doesn't mean I make it. That doesn't mean I fulfill my role perfectly. I'm not perfect. But one thing I want you to know, brothers and sisters, you're looking at a man who understands that I won't get there unless I try. I won't come any closer unless I try. I won't be better tomorrow unless I try. I started to tell you about Eric and Jennifer and family going to Arkansas, and they're on their way back. Guess how they made it to Arkansas? They tried. They got in their car and they drove towards it. And they're now driving back away from it. You'll never get anywhere in life, and especially for God, unless you try. Relationships won't get any better unless you try. You put some effort into it and say, well, I tried that once. Make every effort. Don't make a half-hearted effort. Don't make a small effort. Don't do what you think others have done to you. I'm going to try just as hard as they've tried to me. No. You stand before God alone. I stand before God alone. It's what effort am I making today? I am better when I try. We're going to close this morning by looking once again at 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll read this time in the King James Version. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are we given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, that's in the New Living Translation, was translated, make every effort. Giving all diligence, or what we would say today most commonly, trying. Trying hard. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. And to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. To me, that's better. The Word of God is telling us when we try, when we make every effort, when we give all diligence, we're better for it. You shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. These things make you better. These efforts make you better. These efforts make me better. And that is my goal. And I hope it's yours. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We ask that you speak to every heart. We ask, Lord God, that you deliver us from wrong doctrine, from incomplete doctrine. We ask you, Lord, that you deliver us from soundbite theology that is incomplete at best and oftentimes wrong. Lord, help us to receive from the whole counsel of God and to understand as we truly seek your face what you're saying. Help us, Lord, to be the people that you've called us to be. Help us, Lord, to be determined to be better at what you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.